Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Shine, you're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Ooh, last week. It's Monday. Where were you last week? Oh, we started off shaking the Monday blues with the Deep Time Crew. Signs you're nowhere near ready to be in a relationship. Oh, how about the fact that you're impatient? Now, there's no way in the world, no way in the world, you can possibly be ready to be in a relationship when you're impatient, because no matter what, people are going to be people and they will do things that, you know, may not make you happy, make you smile, and will grate on your last nerve at times. If you can't take that in regular, everyday people you have a relationship with, how are you going to take that from someone who's close to you, who you're always around? Okay? Well, here's one that I like. You don't accept the concept of baggage. Now, there's no way in the world. Again, if you don't even understand what baggage is, even the very concept of it, there's no way in the world. There's no way in the world you're ready for a relationship, because not only are you going to have to understand that they're bringing baggage into the relationship, but so will you. Yes. There's no, how in the world are you going to possibly not bring baggage into this relationship in any shape, form, or fashion? Now, you may not be as bad as the next person, but yeah, we all have the potential of bringing baggage into the relationship. Well, one other one is that you don't know how to compromise. Now, do you even know what compromise is? Well, if you can't find the definition of compromising, then you don't stand a chance of being anywhere near ready to be in a relationship. So we're going to continue that conversation today, because we got some goodies in this chicken, and I want to definitely talk about it. No. These other ones are a little too good to finish up this conversation. So stick around, and you'll get an opportunity to hear some other signs that you're nowhere near ready for a relationship. Well, we couldn't finish a Monday off properly if we did not get our switch tip with Shanti and let God set you up right, was the word for last week. Now, upright is the key. Let God put you upright is the key, because, listen, there's a lot of things that God needs to do with you, and a lot of times God tries to set you up for things, and you're too busy, you know, being fidgety and itchy and cranky, and, you know, I don't want to feel that, and I don't want to do that, and I'm not accustomed to doing this, and, yeah. You know, not all the time, you know, when we're being set up, it's going to be comfortable. Not all the time when we're being set up, it's going to be, you know, the timing is going to be good. Well, not only that, but sometimes when we're being set up, it may not even feel like we're being set up right, because it'll be so foreign to us. But watch for God, because God will always give you a sign that it's Him. Yes, yes, He will. Yes, He will. Well, first of all, you got to wonder if you've been praying about this thing. And I always tell people, be very careful of what you pray for, because, you know, sometimes we pray for things, and then when God starts answering, because we're looking to the east and it's coming from the west, and we're looking for gray and it comes out to be bright orange, yeah, we get thrown all off. So, you know, don't miss your opportunity to be set up right. So just let God, only God can set you up right. Okay? All right. Well, Tuesday, we had our third episode of Kingdom Business that we reviewed. And let it burn was the theme for that episode. And, yeah, we got some stuff that we talked about, because it was a very, very interesting episode. You know, we talked about the fact that, you know, there was dad and daughter interaction. You know, dad prayed for his daughter. And, you know, she's been going through some things. She's been going through some personal things in a marriage. She's been going through some personal things with the family. And, you know, you could tell that she was overwhelmed. And dad, he did his due diligence, and he prayed for her. And there was a conversation that ensued, and, you know, dad been a little disobedient and sinful lately. How far will that prayer go? Well, that's something that we need to consider. The Bible tells us, you know, do not do anything that will hinder your prayers from being answered. So that was a nice, interesting thought. Well, we also talked about that horrible, horrible, horrible song. Those lyrics, you know. When we're singing for God, you know, we really got to make sure that the lyrics are intact. We don't want to sing and say anything that's contrary to what, you know, God is actually co-signing on. And, oh, you need to go watch episode 3, because there was something that wasn't clicking with that song. Not only were the lyrics not clicking, but the whole entire opening of the video. Oh, you got to go see that. Go back. Episode 3 was extremely interesting, because we also got a glimpse of a little intimacy that was quite questionable. Yeah, I tell you, you know, don't get yourself caught up. And that was the word that came through from church folk, from our pastors. Be careful of, you know, the environment that you put yourself in. And be also careful of God's warning signs, or God's get out, run! Yeah, you're going to have to be on the alert for those things. So go back and check out episode 3 and see what we were talking about. And we look forward to going forward. It may not be a joyous watch, but listen, it's what this world is facing today. So we got to talk about it. Okay? Okay. Well, Wow, Wednesday rolled around and we had our girlfriend Vivian open us up with a socially conscious segment. And we talked about the Jackie Robinson Museum that finally opened up. Yeah, that project was started in 2008, but finally the doors flew open in 2022. So go check it out. $18 for adults, $15 for children. And we had our biggest conversation that rolled into the ladies, you know, conversation, the women of worship, about the bishop in Canarsie, Brooklyn, who was robbed. He and his wife alone were robbed for their jewelry, over $1 million they took. And what a snag. Yeah, and I'm calling it a snag because it didn't look too good for this bishop afterwards, because there were a lot of questions that came out from that. You know, what kind of pastor lives in New Jersey, comes back to the hood wearing $1 million in an impoverished area? Yeah, we may not be destitute and eating sand, but when you walking around with $1 million on your body and this economy and committee, a community, excuse me, they're not walking around with baby food, baby formula. Yeah, you have to check that, brother. You have to check that. Yes, you know, and it also raises an eyebrow as to, is this the church's money? You know, when things like this go on, unfortunately, even when you may be completely innocent, it just smells to some people like something is wrong. And, you know, we as pastors really have to make sure we kind of stay away from stuff like that. Now, there will be, you know, people will be people. You know, we're not gonna negate that. You know, no matter what you do, church folk will always look around and ask questions, as well as, you know, non-believers. They're always going to ask questions because they're looking for an excuse not to come to church anyway. But one of the things that we have to make sure of is that we don't give you reason to come, you know, to those type of conclusions or to think those type things. And unfortunately, yeah, that wasn't the case this go around. Yeah, there were a lot of questions. Were you part of that, Robert? Yeah, you know Pastor Charlotte, her conspiracy theories. Well, she wasn't the only one who thought that. So, you know, we really have to pray for our leadership because, you know, there are people who were still in that church. As many of us who say it wouldn't have been us, there were people in that congregation. So, you know, you got to think. You need to pray. Yeah, you have to think about there are people that really see nothing wrong with this. And they would look at that and go, you know, well, my pastor does this and my pastor wears that and my pastor lives like this. Yeah, you know, where we're looking at it one way, they're looking at it in a complete different, you know, direction. And you got to be sitting up under a pastor who wears that kind of jewelry, because I'm with Pastor Kim. It sure wouldn't be me. So, you know, let's make sure, not just leaders, but people who are claiming to live, you know, under the banner of Christ, we need to make sure that we are always doing things that are not questionable, okay? All right, because the week before we just did a segment on how you look, pretty much, okay? All right, well, we got Thursday, Therapeutic Thursday, rolled around, and we talked about the things you should never say to your pastor. Yes. Well, what about the pastor is not meeting my needs? Well, that's always subjective and relative to who's actually saying that. So I don't know if you're going to put much into that. Huh? I'm not being spiritually fed. Well, to do time, we were a little split there because some say, no, you shouldn't say that. And there were others that said, absolutely, I'm not being fed. And I'm going to tell you something. I've heard some stuff that comes out of from Pastor Miles, and I have to tell you, that would be my complaint. I'm going on grammatically incorrect. I ain't being spiritually fed. Yeah, you need to, you know, we talked about one of the things that Brother Al brought out, which was really, really important, is sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And in my opinion, if you're not being spiritually fed as a pastor, I'm telling you, go respectfully to your pastor and share that concern, because maybe it's something that you're not getting. Maybe it's something that the pastor is not relaying properly. You know, there's a mixture of things that could be going on. So, you know, I don't want you to say that, you know, you're not being spiritually fed and that pastor is actually giving you some food, but because you've positioned yourself to still be hungry, you don't want to put your foot out there. But also, there are pastors who are not spiritually feeding their flock, and they should be told, and we should be told. You know, everything I say comes from the Bible anyway. But, you know, there are people that really need to, you know, hear, because like I said, I couldn't sit under certain people. So, because I wouldn't be spiritually fed. So I would need to be able to say, you know, I'm here for your messages. I'm here for the sermons. I'm here for the Bible study. But something's not connecting. And that way, you're not putting the onus on the pastor, but you're also giving room to the fact that maybe it's something that you're not, you know, that you're not receiving, and it's not because they're not giving. So, I wholeheartedly agree with Brother Al. You know, some of these things on this list, the one about the, oh my goodness gracious, it's right in front of my tongue, the one where the gift, you know, that's not my gift or something like that. You know, it's not that you cannot say it. There's some things that you definitely should not say to your pastor, but there are things that, you know, can be said. But as long as you say it respectfully, then, you know, you'll be all right. Okay? All right. Well, Friday, Freestyle Friday rolled around, and we had part two of $1 million in the pulpit. And we talked to our men that day, and a lot of stuff came out. And I'm just going to let you kind of think about it until you go back. Yeah, I'm going to send you back to listen to that episode. It was quite an interesting episode, thought-provoking episode, coming from our men. Yeah, coming from our men. So I want to make sure that, you know, we get ourselves together here and start the week off right. Oh, we are shaking the Monday morning blues already. Yes, make sure you go back and listen to last week. Another wonderful week over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. And welcome to a brand new week. What a fantastic weekend we had. Baptism of 8 individuals in total, 6 from our congregation, 2 from our sister congregation, and a wonderful fellowship there was. And young people, 6 on one side, 2 on the other side, but yet all young people. And I'm telling you, if you were to hear the testimonies, amazing. You know from hearing those testimonies that God has done a great work. And if these young people got those testimonies, if they have those testimonies, can you imagine if they had not accepted Christ, where they would be in another 5 minutes? Man, from those testimonies that I heard, they better have quickly jumped on board. Yeah. So, you know, you would think that, you know, only older people, you know, have those testimonies of, the life experiences that they you know, that they do. But I tell you, God is an amazing God. And we're happy to have him as an option. Ooh, did I just say that? Well, we're getting ready to get our Monday started. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to go and get that healthy breakfast. Two, go tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And three, make sure you go nowhere because we will be right back.
A cleft lip typically doesn't affect speech unless the teeth are in a very poor position in which it can affect articulation. A cleft palate, however, does have the potential to significantly affect speech production. And what we find is that some children with a cleft palate who have even had surgery still have a difficult time blocking the space between the mouth and the nose because the palate should lift up to touch the back of the throat. And when that doesn't happen effectively, air can leak from the mouth into the nose, and so it causes hypernasal speech. Some children with a cleft palate will need speech therapy, and others will need a second operation later in childhood to help improve their speech.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome or welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Oh, yeah, 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 you know. Woo, I tell you, this body is shaking the Monday morning blues for real. As I give God thanks for such, it was just a wonderful weekend. You know, we celebrated 10 years for the Seventh-day Sabbath Church of God, Jamaica, Queens. 10 quick years. Eventful, but quick. And I also had the pleasure of sharing with Beulah Church of God Seventh-day, their 50th anniversary. And what a wonderful way to end a weekend of celebration. So, you know, we have a lot to give God thanks for. Two solid congregation continually building and just watching and looking at how God is moving. There's so much to give God thanks for. So we need to get our morning started here as we talk about some of our little health news as we do. And get your pens out. We've got the best foods for hydration. Okay, the best foods for hydration. And we have to make sure that in these brutal days, we've had a couple of weeks of where the weather was brutal. Even, you know, in the very early morning, it was like 80 degrees. I'm like, yo, it's not even 9:30. And already it's 80 degrees, and you're talking about coming from a night where it was hot, and you're going into a day where it's hot, you know, not just water. You know, you're just, you know, drinking water. Sometimes you may not even be drinking enough water. So we need to make sure that we keep our bodies hydrated. So what's the first thing we're talking about this morning? Citrus fruit. Yes, citrus fruit. They say orange juice, 100%. Florida orange juice is about 89% water, okay? Other citrus fruits, grapefruit. Now, I know a lot of people don't like grapefruit, especially because sometimes you can get some real bitter grapefruit, but it says grapefruit really also has the same pretty much water content. So they say just make sure you're not taking any medications that would negatively interact with it. Now, you remember, we went through that. We did our medications that collide with some food, and it wasn't food that we shouldn't be eating. If you remember, it was food that we needed to be eating. And grapefruit, I remember specifically grapefruit was on that list. So let's make sure that while we're getting that vitamin C and those flavonoids, antioxidants, that we're also building our immunity, but we're not causing some kind of chaos in our bodies, okay? All righty. Number two, cucumbers. Yes. Cucumbers made of 95% water. It says it helps to not only hydrate, but it also contains vitamins and nutrients that can rid the body of excess fluid. So for those of us who are trying to shake these extra pounds, can you imagine God would create our body where we can do the same, you know, one thing and two things and three things at the same time? So we're talking about hydrating our body, but also getting rid of excess fluid. So it sounds like a little crazy, but hey, it does what it does, okay? They say cucumbers are water-packed and loaded with vitamin C. And vitamin C can help to flush the body of toxins and keep skin healthy enough to withstand extreme changes in temperature. So didn't we just get finished talking about the changing of the temperatures and us just going through these hot days from morning, noon, and night? Remember, I don't look at this. I only look at like the first thing. And then after that, I just take a chance that it's a good list. All right, number three, mango. Oh, I just remember Grandma. Grandma Pastor Burrow loved her mangoes. And as a matter of fact, let me just give a shout out. You know, she's not here. She can't hear it. She ain't walking up in heaven. She ain't operating it up in heaven. She ain't tap dancing with God and his angels. She ain't playing no tambourines. She is greatly missed, as this was her birthday. August 1st was her birthday, and I just thought about it. Yeah, well, I remember it was her birthday, but I thought about her when the mangoes came up. I remember she loved her mangoes. So missing Grandma Pastor Burroughs, but remembering that she always had a good mango. And they say mangoes with fibrous and starchy mangoes, they contain more than 80% water. Ooh. Now, you wouldn't think that mangoes had all that water in it. No. Maybe that's why grandma's drinking, eating all those mangoes. Well, they say that it does. 80% water content. And they say a diet rich in sugar can actually shorten, you know, the hydration process, because sometimes it absorbs, you know, that extra water. That's why we can't eat a whole lot of sugar. But they say foods like seaweed, nuts, and some fruits can actually lengthen your hydration. And mangoes is one of them. Oh, wow. All right. Here we go. Oatmeal. Oh, now I hope your girl Shantisa was a wonderful, let's say, how are we going to say it? Addition to oatmeal, but she was even in the kitchen trying to chef it up on her own. I know it didn't taste like mine, but she got the hint. Oatmeal is fantastic. We've had our study on oatmeal, and it's a wonderful breakfast staple. And they say, you know, to cook oatmeal, add water. Kind of slow down on the milk content of, you know, some people cook oatmeal in milk, and they say, but you would do better because of the hydration process to make sure that your water content is high, because oatmeal assists our bodies in staying hydrated. So you don't want to kind of counteract that thing. They say oatmeal provides filling soluble and insoluble fibers, which means that eating oats will help bulk up the weight and size of your stool. Yeah, it's a little gross for some, but listen, we're talking about health here. So if you suffer from diarrhea quite a bit, you want to get that oatmeal. And we're talking about staying hydrated. Well, we know if you have diarrhea, you're going to be draining your body of fluids. So come on. Let's go in the opposite direction. And oatmeal can definitely help us with that process. Okay? Peaches. They say stone fruits like peaches, surprisingly, are some of the most water-heavy fruits you can find, with levels that can exceed 90%. Wow. In addition to that water, you also get vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants and fiber. So peaches does a whole lot more than what I thought. Yeah. Ready? Soup. We're talking about the foods that keep you hydrated. Soup. Well, somebody might say, well, surprise. No. But broth and soups are what they're talking about, and vegetable, light vegetable soups. They get a full of, you know, content that keep you hydrated. Okay? So they're saying that if you opt for canned soups that are high in sodium, they work in the opposite direction. They can cause dehydration of the skin, that high sodium. Okay? All right. Tomatoes. Now, remember now, a couple of weeks ago or last week, we talked about canned tomatoes being toxic, but we're not talking about canned tomatoes right now. We're talking about regular tomatoes, all right? So let's make sure we get those tomatoes. They're saying that the most hydrating food on this list are the tomatoes. They do mostly in part to their presence of lycopene, a powerful antioxidant that research has shown to protect the skin specifically. Okay? All right, so you want to make sure that those tomatoes are in your diet, because they say tomatoes are often, are also 97% water, and they help protect your skin from UV damage. All right, so we're talking about this morning and our little health tip. The best foods for hydration, ready? Citrus fruits. So make sure you get that orange juice. Make sure you get that grapefruit. Cucumbers. Make sure you get those cucumbers. Mangoes. Go for grandma's mangoes. Oatmeal. Peaches. Soup. Remember, not that canned sodium-filled soup. Okay. Make sure you make your own. Make your own brothy, light vegetable soup. And tomatoes. They say tomatoes are number one on this list, okay? All right. So what are we talking about this morning? Now, this morning, I came across a huge story that I thought was kind of interesting. And one of the things that I picked up, and I was like, here we go again. Now, we're talking about, remember we were talking before about the luring of the men on social media, the women, even the young women. Remember, they would get the guys to come, you know, and visit them after they had been on Facebook and Instagram and all of that. Well, the Bronx is at it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You got to keep your eyes open, because, see, you need to pay attention to little things. So I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I had to laugh, and I had to shake my head, because I was like, I'm sorry. You just couldn't have lured me. So they say a 20-something-year-old woman has been using Facebook to lure men to Bronx hotels. Now, I'm a Bronxite. I am a Bronxite. Now, let me help you with something here. I grew up in the Bronx, and I know the Bronx. And we had our Tiffany Gospel Awards in the Bronx. And one of the things that we lacked in the Bronx were hotels. Now, I'm going to come back to that. Remember, that's what I'm telling you. We lacked hotels. What was happening was we had people that were coming in from all over. We even went international by our third year, so we had people coming, flying in from other countries. Yes, yes, a little old Pastor Steph. And I needed hotels. And I called around. I even had my mom search, go to a couple of places, hotels where you would want to stay, you know, and you would want to have your out-of-town guests come to. No! Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Okay, so this 20-something-year-old woman uses Facebook to lure men to Bronx hotels. And what would happen is she would get them there and encourage them to take a shower. And when they took the shower and came out, then they would come out to another female and a male brandishing firearms and threatening to shoot him. Okay? So they say the three robbers used duct tape and would bound their victim and remove the personal property like their clothes, and they would take their cash, their wallets, their cell phones, and they would leave them there and sometimes make them, you know, leave. Now, I can't even imagine what that must have been like, okay? But listen, we're going to get to this part here. So they say a third incident. Now, for those of you who are from the Bronx, I want to give these addresses because I want you to understand why I'm pointing certain things out here. So they said the third incident happened when a 48-year-old man was robbed at the Friendly Motor Inn at 1119 East Gun Hill Road. The robbers took his debit and credit cards, clothing and car keys, and ran up $3,000 worth of charges on his card. The fourth incident, 8:30 p.m. on July 24th, at the Van Cortlandt Motel, 6393 Broadway, when a 46-year-old man was robbed of $200, his personal items and credit cards. The fifth robbery happened at about 11 o'clock at the Sheridan Hotel at 1440 Sheridan Boulevard. 45-year-old victim, same thing, okay? So they say that the woman who is believed to lure in the victim is about 25 years old, 5'2", and 200 pounds, with black hair, tattoos on both arms, and wearing glasses. The second female is believed to be about 40 years old, 4'11", and 140 pounds, with black hair. The man in the crew is about 25 years old, 5'10", and weighs about 170 pounds, with medium build and black hair. Now, they haven't caught these individuals, and that's why they're giving the facts of what they look like. So let's go back a little bit. Now, I didn't gave you a hotel on Sheridan Boulevard. Do you know where Sheridan Boulevard is? That is close to the Melrose section of the Bronx. You know good and well ain't no hotel. Ain't no way in the world. You know what? Let me just keep on going. Now, Gun Hill Road is in the upper part of the Bronx, but I'm sorry. It may not be Melrose section, but the Friendly Motor Inn does not sound like a place that I would invite somebody from out of town in. Okay? Van Cortlandt Motel. Now, have you heard the word hotel? Does it sound like hotel, motel, Holiday Inn? No. This is, you can automatically tell where they were luring you, the type people they were luring. That's the first thing I want to talk about. We ain't going to talk about the second part yet. The first part is, if you were even able to be lured to these three hotels, motels, there's no way in the world you would even go in there for the right reason. So are you surprised that the individual who is 25, 5'2", and 200 pounds. Now listen, I'm not a person who talks about weight, you know, and I'm very sensitive to that because, you know, we sometimes do a little too much talking. But I'm being realistic here. Look at the specs. Now, if you're only 5'2 and you 200 pounds,
you're not, you know, in other words, you don't look like one of these models where once a man sees you, oh my goodness, the sky is the skyrockets are going off and all this kind of stuff. And like I said, I'm not talking about features or nothing, but I'm talking about things that men are typically lured by. And I'm a woman, and I'm not insulting another woman, but I'm saying, look at who we're talking about. So you're talking about somebody who would lure you to a hotel like this, and you can be lured to a hotel. You know what? Then I got to tell you, you shouldn't have been surprised. But because we got our mind on that one thing, the enemy knows how to get you. The enemy knows how to get you. You are not even being lured by what they normally use to lure you by, and you're not even being lured to what they would normally lure you to. So already, the combination is all jacked up. And let me tell you something. I would love to see the victim. I would love to see the victim. Because, I mean, come on, y'all. You couldn't have been looking all of that. And you could be lured to one of these Sheridan Boulevard, Gun Hill Road, Motor Inn. Nah. You got exactly what you deserve, probably. Because you were in there. You were in there for the wrong reason. You thought you was going to get got. Well, you got got. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean, this is really, really something that when I looked at the specs today, I was like, really? You know, and I feel bad. I do feel bad because, again, you know, you're so greedy for the wrong thing that you could be enticed to go anywhere. So let's say this was some model-looking woman. And you know, she had, you know, she was polished and, you know, she looked like she came from the magazine and all of that kind of stuff. Once you got to the hotel, well, first of all, where were you? That she couldn't have taken you very far, so you were already in the Sheridan Boulevard area. So you remember now, I told you I'm from the Bronx. You already know ain't nothing, like I said, enticing about the hotel. So already your mind, and you know what's in the wrong places, and my heart is like, God, this is a mess here. And you're just really showing how bad it is where we're not even taking, you know, like the things that would go bing, 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 to all the sirens and the alarms. And I'm spending time here, y'all, this morning because where in your life are the sirens and the alarms going off? And you're not paying attention to it. Because like I said, when people are asking, you know, do you know hotels, blah, blah, and I'm sitting in my head, and I'm like, well, from what I know, Bronx ain't full of hotels that I would invite somebody to. I said, but you know what? I don't know every aspect of the Bronx, you know, like that. Maybe they took something up. And all I kept thinking was, we're going to have to put these people in the city, or, you know, we're not too far from, let's say, Yonkers, you know, things like that. So maybe they have, you know, something a little more, you know, a little nicer. And I just couldn't think of it. So I'm saying to myself, if you from the hood, you already know. If you up in Sheridan, if you by Gun Hill Road, if you're in these places where these hotels were, because they didn't lure them to like a mile, 4 or 5 miles away. This is right where you come from. So pay attention, y'all. Pay attention. You know, everything may not be as blatant as this. But trust me when I tell you, it's there. It's there. It's there. It's there. Okay? All right. What else are we going to talk about today? Oh. I wanted to fall out my chair on this one. Now, you know we talked about the R. Kelly story, and we talked about his sentencing. Well, the sister, let me call them by name, Cassandra, Teresa, and Lisa. So mom had this thing with the A's at the end. So the three of them go on Good Morning Britain, and this is televised, okay? They go on Good Morning Britain, and they decide that they're going to give an interview. So they're saying that for them, they believe that this sentencing of these 30 years that he got was racial. Now, we have discussed, you know, well, you know, you're pulling all these people off trees, you know, and, you know, everybody may have gotten, you know, the equal amount of time. But listen, let's be real. The first thing that really kind of annoyed me was, I was like, listen, let's be real. We're not talking about, you know, something that didn't happen. We're not talking about something where this stuff wasn't loaded with accusation and proof. So even if it wasn't equal, it wasn't like it was bad. The 30 years was bad. But you really couldn't say that this was not, like, worth it. You know what I'm saying? It's like this was justified. He did what he did. And as much as I love me some R. Kelly singing, I had to, you know, you have to eat that. You have to eat and accept that. But here's the thing that really got to me. As they were going in, you know, talking, they say that the sisters were actually being very honest. And the sisters started talking. One of the sisters said that, yes, he was molested. They didn't say molested, sexually abused. That they were, not only was he, but the brother was sexually abused for years since R. Kelly was 6 years old. And now all the sisters are talking. Now there are only three sisters, and all three sisters are on the, they're taking this interview. They're giving this interview, right? How you sitting giving an interview and you were the perpetrator? Really? Yes. And they said that once one of the sisters made that statement, so here, they said, I'm going to read you exactly what it said. It says, according to Insider, Kelly's lawyers have argued that his childhood trauma led to his hypersexual behavior and claimed that his older sister, Teresa, sexually abused him and his brothers for years since he was 6 years old. Now, they said after that came out by one of the sisters said it. Literally, she came out and said it. And they said that after that, she had nothing to say for the rest of the interview. Well, would you? Would you? Let me tell you something. This is not the first time that it came out that he was sexually abused. And I do believe, I remember one of the brothers being sexually abused, but they're saying all the brothers were abused since R. Kelly was 6 years old. But why would you go on an interview? Did you not think that was going to come up? Because that's been one of the biggest arguments that the lawyers have, that, listen, he experienced his childhood trauma and it leaked its way into his life, and that's why he became, you know, a perpetrator, because this is what he knew and this is what he grew into. And my thing was like, you really sat there and you didn't think that it was, listen, you only got three sisters, right? You don't think a reporter loves to pull out dirt. You don't think that somebody would have said, well, you are the only three sisters. Which one are you? What, yo, are you stupid or what? I could not believe when I read that. I was like, normally people do things like that. You know, they kind of hide, which you should hide, because I'm going to be honest. I need to know why they have not arrested her. I'll be straight up honest. Why is there a statute of limitation on this? Why couldn't she be arrested? Because the brother, I'm remembering more and more when they did the interview, the brother said it. Now, he's one of the, R. Kelly is like one of the, he's the low end of the scale. He's one of the babies. I don't know if he's the absolute baby, but he's on the younger end. And I'm like, well, there's no sexual limitations. Y'all can't go behind these people now. Now, R. Kelly didn't say it, in, you know, to the public, but the brother told it. So my thing is, why can't you go for these people? Why are they still protected? Because technically, let's be honest, are you now partially responsible for all these females who have now been abused? You know, for these young girls who now have been manipulated. So, you know, yeah, maybe I'm stretching for some people, but there's always a beginning. There's always a beginning. And now that they're locking up everybody, if you drove the getaway car, if you helped plan, you know, if you did the math to figure out how much they're going to steal from the, you know, the heist, and yeah, everybody going down. So let's get everybody and let everybody eat. Every one of the victims' experiences. And you should be able to have to face the music for what you did. I don't care how long it's been. Well, you know what? Y'all probably tired of hearing Pastor Steph, and I'm getting a little excited. Y'all know how I get. So you know what? I got a voice that we have not heard in a minute, and I am so happy to say good morning, good morning, good morning to you, Lady Tamika.
Monday, Monday morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I am so happy to hear that voice this morning. I was going through withdrawals. Oh, my goodness. How are you?
I am doing well. I felt the same. I could only listen in. It was hurting my heart, but I am so glad to be back on.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you with us. So let's get to talking about these two stories, because I didn't even go past two today, because to me, these two were so loaded that we should be able to talk about this for a minute. So we're talking about this woman who's luring these men in the Bronx. This is contained to the Bronx. And you may not be a Bronxite, like you may know about the Bronx, but, you know, she's been luring these men to the Bronx only to coerce them to take a shower. And when they come out, she is now, you know, they're now facing another woman and a man who are brandishing firearms, threatening to shoot them. And they have been robbed of cash, their wallets, their cards, their clothing. And, you know, the cards have been run up as high as $3,000. And, you know, my thing is, okay, well, you really went to the hotel, that motel, really? You thought what you thought you were going to get. You got what you got because you thought you were going to get something else. I don't know. What was your thing? What's your thinking?
Well, you know, when you go into a hotel with the name of Friendly, you automatically know you got the friendly experience. You know, you didn't get a happy ending, but you got the friendly experience. You know, just thinking about it, you know, and just looking at the neighbor, you going to Gun Hill Road to do what? Really? Seriously? Yeah, you got God. You had to think about it. We understand that that's exactly what you were looking for, but yeah, you got God, and you know there's nothing that you can do about it. You know, you can't even get your money back, whatever it is that you've lost. You might as well move on, and maybe you'll think a lot wiser this time since you've got God. And I mean, it could have been a lot worse. Your life could have been taken.
Absolutely.
You know, so just be satisfied, learn the lesson, and move on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I got to talk about this R. Kelly thing. Now, you only got three sisters. It was already outed that one, your sister, I didn't even know there were three of them, actually, but it was already out that from the brother that the sister was the one who molested R. Kelly when he was younger. And my question is, what did you think was going to happen when you actually did this interview? Did you really think that was not going to come up and whoever the sister was would not be exposed? Now, am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy, because I remember hearing it too. You know, one of the brothers, I kept hearing, like, when they first started talking about it, everybody was very cautious about how they would say things. They just kept saying it was
right.
In the family. It was in the family. It was in the family.
Right.
And then just like you, the brother said, well, it was one of the sisters. He wasn't specific. And I guess because, you know, you got more than one sister, you know, but if you really tried to pay attention, and especially if you were part of their livelihood or their family, or you grew up in that area with the Kellys, you automatically, okay, it's that one. you know. And so when you set yourself up to come to the interview, what else did you think? How did you think that that was going to be avoided? I guess because when the brothers talked about it, you know, they didn't specifically point you out, but interviewers, that's their job. What their job is to get to the heart of the situation. So, you know, even, you know, interrogators and those type of people, that's what they do. I would probably say, oh, I'm not coming. You know, the fact
right.
that you actually agreed, you set yourself up for the whole thing.
Really, really not a smart move if you wanted to stay anonymous. Now, here's the other thing, Tamika. Now, if the two showed up and we found out there were three, then you would automatically assume that it was the one that didn't show up. So you already jacked up.
Exactly.
But you know what? It is what it is. And you know what? It's time for you to be exposed. So how about that? Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. So happy to have you back on with us today. Let's talk to our pastor, Charlene, and see what she's got to say, because I know the conspiracy theorist is here with us this morning. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning. Good morning. Hi, Lady Tamika.
How are you doing today?
Oh, Pastor Charlene. We talking about the Bronx now. You know the Bronx. Would you go to Friendly Motel?
Of course not. When you walked or drove up and you saw it, you didn't think that you needed to turn around even if you wasn't from the Bronx? You didn't think that what you saw on the outside, you didn't see Big Bubba sitting behind the glass and said, give me your money. Got tattoos all up on his face, on his neck, around. You ain't see that?
Oh my goodness, Pastor Charlene. Now you're the conspiracy theorist of the group. And I was like, yo, when she walked up on you, and what could she say to you, Pastor Charlene? What could she say that would get you to go into one of these hotels?
Well, desperate people do desperate things. That was my first thought. My second thought was in Friday, remember the part when the girl drove up and she said she looked like Beyonce? I remember. I thought of that movie. And then I'm like, really? Did you not think that you was going to get God as much as you know that they rob you and you went into the shower, you turned your back? So, yeah, I'm agreeing with y'all. Y'all should just get what you got. You know, sometimes people just don't think. And like you said, that one track mind. But you should have made the arrangements. You should have said, meet me here or whatever. But he didn't do that.
All right, Pastor Sean. Oh, Kelly, sister. Tell me what you think.
Well, it's been a long time. They're not a bear. It's the sisters. And she's thinking, it's been a long time. They ain't never arrest me. Ain't nobody said my name. So even if I sit here, oh, well, it don't matter. Y'all didn't arrest me. I'm still sitting here, and you said she still haven't been arrested. So they just have the attitude that it don't matter. I don't care. And, yes, we'll spill it out. Somebody going to name who you think did it. But I think maybe all three had a play in it. Somebody just went all the way, and one might have just watched the door, and the other one could have, you know what I mean? So kept mommy and daddy, somebody busy, whoever else was in the house. And y'all tagged in.
Wow, Pastor Charlene. Woo, you went all the way. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, I would hate to see what you were like in your former life. Yo, if you think like that now, I would hate to see you before the Lord took you over. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, Oh, but thank you so much for joining us, Pastor Charlene, this morning. Let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Good morning up in here. Good morning up in here. Yes, indeed. How you doing?
Okay, so I'm well, thank you. Before I go any further, I have to ask, is there a quote for the day?
Oh, of course there is. It's a quick, nice one. Where did it go? I just had it. Wait for it. Okay. I just had it and I lost it. But I'm going to do this other one. This wasn't the one I wanted to do, and I lost the other one. So this one says, opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and look like work.
Mm.
And that's by Thomas Edison.
Wow. Well, you should have been telling that to the people who were going to the friendly hotel, motel.
I know, right?
I guess, you know what, Brother Al, I guess they were thinking the same thing. This don't look like what it really is. Oh, man.
Yeah, this is an opportunity here. They look, this is an opportunity here. Not realizing they had overalls on.
So what you thinking, Brother Al? Could you be lured as a man? Could you be lured, you know, the Bronx, to Gun Hill Road, to Sheridan Boulevard, Van Cortlandt area? Could you be lured over there?
Not at all. First and foremost, the name of the street would have stopped me. Where you going, Al? Oh, let's go over to Gun Hill Road. Gun Hill? Oh, no. I'm not going over there. So that would have stopped me alone right there. Right? And so there was plenty of signs. Gun Hill Road. Then the friendly motel most likely means unfriendly. You know what I'm saying? So when you drove over there, it says straight in the hood. So when he drove over there, he should have known from the beginning, okay, something does not look right. We have a hotel like that in Brooklyn. You couldn't get me a free room in there. So, again, I'll say it like the young people would say it. Those men that got caught, they were thirsty. This is what the young folks said. They were thirsty. We're going to meet with this girl, and I'm going to do such and such. And that's all they saw. I'm sure some instinct kicked in when they drove up and like, you know what? This don't look right. But you know what? I'm getting ready to get with this chick, so don't worry about it. I'm quite sure it kicked in.
Yeah, probably when the guns were in his face. That's when it kicked in.
Yeah, and then the back of his mom was like, I knew I should have kept driving.
Oh, goodness. All right, Brother Al, what your say on R. Kelly's sister, who actually went on and took and did this interview? Did she not think that she would be exposed?
That's exactly why. You know, she got to yapping and probably was so excited to be on TV because, you know, R. Kelly's out in the forefront. And it was like, okay, this is my time to shine. And then she messed around and opened her mouth. Now, you see what happened, right? After she said it, she had nothing to say for the rest of the interview. Because now it's processed like, oh, shoot, I really messed up on this one. I should have kept my mouth closed. But I believe she got excited about, you know, she got excited about being on TV because nobody know you, nobody know about you because your brother's in the forefront. She's like, it's my time to shine. And she dropped the ball on this one.
Wow. Yeah, her sister said it. One of the sisters said it. And after that, they said she was closed-mouthed. Woo, I guess so. Thank you so much, Brother Al, for joining us today. We'll be back to further our conversation. And let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, for this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, Pastor Steph.
Good morning, Pastor KL. That was used already.
Oh, was it? I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
It was.
Oh, man. Okay.
Every day that's used. Every day. day is you. That's what you get for coming on late.
I'm sorry.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Ray Myers, think alike. Ray Myers, think alike.
Oh, my goodness. How are you?
I am well. I am well. Thank you. Well, good to hear the gas ladies back.
You will never live that down.
You're not right.
You will never live that down. You will never live that down. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know what happens when you tell a pastor something? You know, it's like you just keep bringing it up. They just keep bringing it up. Oh, my goodness. All
listen,
right. So, Pastor
as
K.L.
Much, as much as gas is, I'm blaming her.
Pastor K.L., a Bronxite. Now, help me understand as a man what went wrong.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to understand the conversation because is he driving? Because if you driving and you drive up to this hotel, surely you have the control of the wheel, the gas pedal, the reverse. I wouldn't be saying that. Now, you know, there's hotel slogans that say, we leave the light on. You went to this hotel and they had no light on. It was a friendly, the slogan for friendlies is come enjoy the experience where you can come and go at the same time. No, that's not the place I'm staying. I'm not saying that. I'm turning your mic off.
You know what? I'm turning your mic off. You got one more time. We're moving on to R. Kelly. I don't even know if we could talk to you about R. Kelly today. I'm going to turn your mic off, so I tell you to tread lightly. Comment on R. Kelly. My hand is on the button.
I really have nothing to say about R. Kelly. I mean, I think she's a stupid person to even go to the interview. I mean, if you have all of this in your closet and you know you've done all of this, and it has already been said and slightly exposed. Why? So those 5 minutes of fame was going to help you or make you more detrimental to yourself? You're not very bright.
Ooh. All right, I'm still exhaling. I'm trying to catch my breath over here, Pastor Kale. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Kale, for joining us today. Oh, okay. All right. Last week we started a conversation. You're nowhere near able. You're nowhere near ready to be in a relationship for our Relationship Monday. And we talked about some stuff about being self-centered, the fact that you're settling, you're impatient, all that good stuff. But we have a few more things to talk about here. And they say that you're nowhere near ready to be in a relationship if you're still in love with your ex. Ladies, Tamika, what are we talking about here? Are you ready?
That might be a problem. You know, I'm thinking about Kevin and his name is Al. You know, that could be a real problem. We out to dinner. And, oh, Kevin. Who's Kevin? My name is Al. Yeah, that would be a extreme problem, you know. And people are different. You know, you think things. You have memories, you know, of emotions, of things that happened in the past that you can't bring to the present because that's the past. You know, you need to either decide to be with that person or maybe just be by yourself.
All righty now. Woo! Pastor Shaw, you're still in love with your ex. Is that the sign that you're nowhere near ready to be in a relationship?
No.
No.
Uh-oh. That's right. I've been singing, so I just wanted to sing that out. No, you are not ready. Because you slip and say the wrong name, you're going to really get your feelings hurt. And when you have that attachment like that, you know, different things happen. And then that means that if you still calling her, you know, you still have some kind of contact, because you're going to feed that feeling. And that feeling is going to make you try to go over there. So when you go, just stay there. That's a nice way to put it.
All righty, all righty. Brother Al, you're still in love with your ex. Fine?
All I got to do is say, dead man tell no tell. Yeah, yeah, that's definitely got to work. If you're still in love, that means that you didn't close that door. So that's definitely not going to work.
All righty, Pastor KL, still in love with your ex. Are you ready for a new relationship?
No, not at all. You haven't, like Brother Al said, you haven't closed the door. I mean, if I'm looking at you and I'm still thinking about Tanya, we got problems. But after a while, you know, you're going to realize that it ain't about you. That you know, my focus is somewhere else. So, yeah, it's not going to work. Not going to work out. Now, if both y'all name is Tanya, it might be able to work out a little better, but it still ain't going to work. It still ain't going to work.
All righty, now.
And
I
that's
your
3 cents.
And that what?
That would really work out.
Your
that
3 cents?
Well, I mean, you know, I've spoken, you know, about my former days where, you know, I've dated three women with the same name, Lisa. Couldn't go wrong.
Mm.
So, I mean, I understand how that works.
Woo.
Yeah.
Thank God for the former life. Woo. Good Lord. Good Lord. Thank God for the former life. Come on now, Pastor Sharman. They say that you're nowhere near ready for a relationship if you need to work on yourself. Now, here's the problem. Half of us don't even know we need to work on ourselves. So how are we going to get this done?
Absolutely. Some of us don't know that. Some of us don't see our faults. Some of us don't see. So are we ready? I think that the other person needs to say, maybe we need to, you know, slow down for a minute and let's try to work on each other. But if neither one don't see it, it'll be a disaster.
All righty. Brother Al, you need to work on yourself. You're nowhere near ready for a relationship if this is the case. Would you agree?
No, I'm going the other way on that. I would disagree with that because, again, like with just being said, you may not know that you need to work on something until you get with somebody who you really care about and they can say, hey, listen, this is what you're doing. Perfect example, myself. Like, I didn't realize I was so stubborn until I had dated a couple of women. And then they said, hey, listen, you stubborn. And I'm like, what you mean I'm stubborn? And then when I really met somebody I really liked, I listened. And I'm like, wow, you know what? I am stubborn. I need to change that. So I do believe that you know, someone can help you, you know, bring it to your attention and help you out with that. I don't think that don't mean that you're not ready.
Okay, I'm gonna let the rest of the team talk, and I got a question. All right, Pascal, what you got? I do believe
you need to work on yourself. If you're in a couple of relationships and seemingly they all fall out because of this one thing, and you are the common denominator, then at some point you have to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, okay, well, I was with Tanya, I was with Lisa, I was with Jane, and this particular thing just didn't work. It can't be them and not you. So you have to be able to look at yourself and say, hey, you know, maybe I need to fix this, you know, before I get with Robin, because this is just wasting time. If I don't fix me, there will be no relationship.
Okay, okay. Lady Tamika.
I think that when it comes to that, you know,
you have to do an assessment whenever a relationship ends. You know, especially if you end amicably, you know, at a point where you can talk, you know, it might be to your benefit to just ask the person, you know, what went wrong, you know, and, you know, even in every relationship that ends, if you can, you know, get that information just to see, you know, did this relationship and that relationship, is that the same thing? You know, it's one thing when you just have a few things that may need some work, but, you know, some people just really don't have it together and they're a mess, you know, and with that, they bring their mess to the relationship and it becomes even more chaotic. It's important that you do an assessment of yourself to find out, you know, am I ready? You know, am I going to cause, if me being the way that I am is going to cause somebody else's relationship to be worse, then I don't need to engage in a relationship. I need to take care of the things that are awry with me before I go into somebody else's life and ruin their situation.
All righty. Now, maybe I'm thinking a little too deep on this thing here, but let's go back to the scenario that was given. So I was in a couple of relationships, and after those relationships, the people told me the same thing. And I have to work on that. You're not ready for a relationship. You're not. You could be. If the same person, it's almost like what Pastor KL was saying. If the people are saying the same thing and you have to go work on that, then you're not ready for a relationship. You can't get into the relationship, and when the relationship becomes a mess, you say, well, I tried it. It didn't work. No, I'm just looking at it a little differently. I don't know. I'll let you comment, and I'll see, you know, what you say. But I'm saying that's indicative that you're nowhere near a relationship. Not after you get in it and see that you have been the cause of the relationship or whatever. You know, I'm not saying that you're the only person, because a lot of times the person could be doing something, but your response agitates that situation, and that's why you can't make it work, because maybe you don't even know how to handle this person who's, you know, impatient or stubborn or, you know, selfish or whatever. But I don't know if I'm making, you know, any sense here. And I'll start with you. I'll start at the top with you, Tamika. You know, I think you were the one who said about the assessment, or maybe Pascal, you know, just assessing yourself after the first relationship went wrong. You have to assess that and see. But again, because people don't think that there's anything wrong with them, but that doesn't mean you're ready for a relationship. Now, I don't know if I'm talking in circles or if you get what I'm saying, but I'll let you comment on what I just said. Tamika.
No, I am in agreement with you. You know, especially if you went into this relationship and it just went, you know, topsy-turvy all over the place, you know, it is important that you do it from the very beginning. You know, I didn't mean to allude to the fact that, you know, you're going to just keep going through a string of relationship after relationship. You need to do the assessment from the very first. Yeah, absolutely, yes. I'm in full agreement with you.
Okay. Pastor Charlotte.
Absolutely. One of the things that a lot of people don't do is, in the relationships, we always blame the other person, but you have to be able to see you. What part did you play? What part do I need to work on myself? And ask yourself these questions. You know, other people who are who you've been in relationships, they went sour. You know, other people who've been in relationships, you know, you have to search you and to see where your weakness is, what part that you have to fix. It's not about the other person. It's about a new you and a new beginning of you and a better you. And is God pleased with you?
Okay. Brother Al?
Okay. I'm still sticking to what I said. You know, we say all that, but how many of us are ready for a relationship? Okay, you assessed yourself. You did this and that. So you mean to tell me you got nothing that may irritate the other person or get on that person's nerve? Again, because you have a few issues do not mean you're not ready for a relationship. Again, the person that you get with can help you with that. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm a perfect example of it. I was a mess. until I met my fiance that passed away. So that means I wasn't ready for a relationship. She showed me things like, wow, that prepared me for my relationship that I have now, because it made me a better person, because I was able to open my eyes and be like, wow, you know what? She's right about that. You know what? I need to work on that, because that's going to cause a problem in my relationship. So you know what? I need to work on that. I didn't see that before, but now that she's saying it, and then I look back like, wow, two other people said the same thing. You know what? Maybe this is true. I need to work on it. I think there's no perfect relationship. So can't nobody sit here and tell me that you're in a relationship and you're perfectly ready. I'm ready now. I ain't got no issues. I can go on with a relationship. That's not true. You got something that's going on, and maybe that person that you with can say, you know what? I need to, you know, this is what's going on, and you need to change this. So I'm a perfect example, so I'm sticking by what I said.
All righty, all righty. Pastor KL.
Yeah, I will say this. There was no one, you know, I mean, you don't mind dealing with one bag, but when she or he has luggage, I don't have room for luggage. I don't have room for all of that stuff. I really, 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 really don't. You know, if you have not sorted out your belongings or your feelings or your emotions, then you are not ready for a relationship. It's not fair to the other one who's actually been waiting for Prince Charming or been waiting for the love of his life, you know, to come and be involved. And now I got to sort through all this stuff to find out who he is. I have to undress him to find the real him, or undress her to find the real her. Or I have to tap dance around stuff because she's still delicate, you know, and emotional from the stuff she just came out of. I don't have time to go to rehab with you. I just don't. I'm sorry.
I want to say this, and I'm going to, because it's one of the first things that came to my mind. And we could take this as a round also. Unfortunately, and I say that because this has been something that I've been watching for a long time as a pastor. And when I talk to people, I just shake my head because, you know, they'll say, well, something was wrong, but because God worked it out, they get this completely skewed view of whether it was really wrong or not. And I think sometimes God working it out don't teach us the right lesson, because it doesn't teach us to walk more cautiously. Just because it worked out and you just happened to meet a person that could handle it doesn't mean you were ready for a relationship. It meant that God blessed you with a person to help you work out that issue. And I'm gonna tread delicately here. And I'm hoping this is not mistaken for what I said. But look at the chain of events. I walked into a relationship where I had an issue. I coupled up with a person who saw the issue, and I was blessed enough to have that individual be able to help me with this. But unfortunately, as a chain of events of that life, they're no longer here. So it doesn't say that you were ready for a relationship necessarily, but what it says was God may have been preparing you for the next relationship. Doesn't mean you were ready for it. And that's the way we as Christian people look at things. We look at things, you know how many people say to me, such and such, 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 but it worked. And I'm like, wait, hold on. We can't enter into things. And I'm not saying that this is one particular case, but I'm saying I'm partnering up the two where, you know, because it worked out, it was fine for us to actually do it. So it's almost like when the guy went to the ATM machine and the ATM machine was left open. And we talked about the fact that how many Christians would say that, well, you know, listen, that was my blessing. I went in there to take it out, take my money out of my account, but the thing was open. So, you know, God blessed me because it was open. I just took a stack, you know, because if it wasn't for God, that wouldn't have happened. And you never get caught. That don't mean it came from God. because you still sold. But that's the way people, they perceive things, that because it worked out, it was right. We're talking about if you're ready for a relationship. We're not talking about things working out for your good. We're talking about if you're ready for a relationship. I don't know. Lady Tamika, we'll start with you again. Am I making any sense here? And I'm not saying right, wrong, good, bad, or indifference, but are you understanding what I'm saying about the average Christian person, the way they think?
No, I do, you know, I do understand. And, you know, God is so gracious and so kind that at times he will put people in our lives for reasons, for growth, for, you know, for you to be able to look at yourself, you know. And sometimes it's a stepping stone, you know. It's not, you know, a lot of times we grab something and, oh, this is for life. No, that person was there for your growth for that moment, you know, and now they're no longer there. So now at that point, what do you do with the knowledge that you've acquired? Do you take it and grow, or do you, you know, unfortunately, sometimes for some people, they don't grow and they go back into the same cycle and it becomes cyclical and they never get out of it. They never move. You know, it's just the same thing. And you're trying to figure out why relationship after relationship becomes the same thing, because you haven't gotten, you didn't take what you got from that moment and grew from it. You just used it and then moved to the same thing that pushed you back into the same circle.
Okay. Pastor Charlotte, as a pastor, have you been in a conversation with someone, a congregant, and they tell you something and you're like, huh? Just because that worked out didn't necessarily mean that that's what was supposed to happen. God is gracious to us like that. He just blesses us like that sometimes.
Absolutely. And I also agree with Lady Tamika as well. But you know what I find is that a lot of times people do it for the other person, and they're not actually doing it to change themselves. They do it because I want to please this person. And that's pretty much where it goes to the end of that point with, you know, and then they take it as, you know, oh, see, God has helped me and see how, you know, I have changed. And as soon as that person, just like she said, everybody's going to be for a season. Everybody don't stay with you that long, you know, and they'll take it. And when that person passed away, or that person, you know, you get to a place where you separate each other, you know, we're not going to be together no more. But then they go back to where they started from. So did you really allow the Lord, because it's a stepping stone, it's an everyday process. Every day we have to continue to do better than we did the day before. And I find that that's where a lot of times where people fall back to, because I was pleasing her, now I'm not, or him, either side, because it's both sides. And so with that, when it comes to the end, now I can be myself. So you was actually lying to you, to yourself, and well, we know you can't lie to God, you know. So that's what a lot of things that I find, that people do it for the wrong reason, and they make it seem like, you know, God did it.
Oh, okay, that's a nice little twist. That's a nice twist, Brother Al. Not trying to change your mind, but just, you know, it can. It's your turn.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I see exactly what you're saying, and I understand it perfectly clear. Again, my issue with that is, okay, what about the person who don't know that they have an issue? Some people are in denial that they have an issue, and they move forward. I think there's a difference when you sit there and say, you know what? I know I'm a jealous person. I have an issue with jealousy. And then you go jump in a relationship. So you already going knowing that you have an issue without trying to say, you know what, I need to fix this before I get into the relationship. But then you have some people, such as myself, who didn't realize that, you know, this was an issue or something like that. And then once I got and somebody told me, then I realized, I was like, oh, okay, you know what? I that is an issue. I need to fix that.
Okay. All righty. Pastor KL, I want to say the definition of denial, the action of declaring something to be untrue, a statement that something is not true, the refusal of something requested or desired. So we're talking about someone who could possibly be in denial that they have an issue. Are they ready to be in a relationship? If you are in denial, because denial does not say that you're unaware. Two different issues. Are you ready to be in a relationship if you're in denial?
I still say no. You know, a lot of times people misconstrue the fact that God didn't kill you or he didn't let nothing crazy happen to you as a point of he worked it out. No, he didn't work it out. He worked out a way of escape for either you or for her. That's how he worked it out. It does not mean to stay there. You know, we have to stop using God, you know, for your own benefits, your own purpose. We use scriptures for our own benefits and our own purpose. You know, God can sometimes, you know, set you up so that you can see yourself and come out of that thing. You know, just because, you know, you had a baby or it seemingly looks like it's working out does not mean it's working out. You know, things happen for a season. You know, when you go outside, the leaves will fall after a certain time. Branches will fall after a certain time. The tree will still stand tall. You know, but things, is this seasonal? Do you need to get yourself together so that the leaves can come back? You know, sometimes, you know, if you don't water correctly, the plant dies. So are you that person that just says, okay, I'm just going to be the plant, and I know I need to water myself, but I won't. Just let me stand here, and God is going to work. You see, that's how we use God. God is going to work it out because he knows my heart. He knows I want to be good. I'm just not good right now. So yeah, sometimes we're in denial, and we think just because we want to do right, that right is just going to come out of us just because we want to. We're not exercising doing right. We're not trying to do right. We're not trying to change, but we want to. It just doesn't work like that. I want to get paid every week, but if I don't go to work, I ain't going to get paid. But I want to get paid.
All righty. Thank you for indulging me on the extension of that portion of the conversation. I want to end with this one. You're not, and it's interesting how they put this, the way they term this. You're nowhere near ready for a relationship if you're not a member of the self-love club. Brother Al.
Oh yeah, definitely. You have to love yourself. How can you give love if you first can't love yourself? So you must love yourself so you can love someone else.
All righty, Pastor KL.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. If I don't love me, I can't love you. I just can't. I can't appreciate loving you if I don't like me. If I don't love me. You know, so, yeah, I think that's very, very important. You have to love yourself before you can even extend yourself to anyone else.
All righty. Lady Tamika, if you're not a member of the self-love club, you're nowhere near ready to be in a relationship.
Nowhere near. You're defeating yourself, destroying yourself. You know, I'm not this, I'm not that. And what ends up happening is it's no longer just I'm not this, I'm not that. It becomes I'm not, you're not, so we're not. And it's more calamity than anything. Heal thyself before you can work on anybody else.
All righty. Pastor Sean, what you got? You're not a member of the self-love club. You know we're near ready for a relationship. Agree or disagree?
I'm agreeing, because if you can't love yourself and take care of yourself and do right by yourself, then you can't help nobody else. I'm in agreement.
All righty. I want to take a round. I want to take a round, and I want to talk about the time when we realized when we were nowhere near ready for a relationship, because I ain't going to believe that everybody here over 50 years old can't look back at a time in their life. And we need, especially with the conversation that ended up ensuing, we need to help our listeners understand that, you know what, we've come through this thing, and we know that it made for a big old mess, and we want to help you understand that there are times in your life you are nowhere near ready for a relationship. And I'll start with you, Lady Tamika.
When you're still dealing with the wounds from the previous relationship. I mean, you know, you've engaged in, you know, talking to someone else. And, like, I literally filled his ear with, you know, what was done before. So much so until, like, he stopped calling, stopped coming by. You know, there was no communication. I would call, he wouldn't answer the phone. You know, when you are wounded to that degree, you know, I say to anybody, male or female, ensure that you can handle what has happened and you're ready. Otherwise, you end up putting extra weight on an individual from day one. You know, it's one thing when, you know, you have gotten yourself to the point where you're healed. But when you're still wounded and oozing and not necessarily gotten healed, you cause injury to the relationship that you're coming into. So get yourself healed and take care of that before you engage in another relationship.
Amen. 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 Thank you for your transparency, Lady Tamika. Pastor Charlotte, there was a time when you realized that you were nowhere near ready for a relationship. And when was that?
Yes. Mine was because I never dealt with betrayal. In my life, I had been betrayed by pretty much everybody. And I just took it into where that if you did something to me in the relationship and you was going a long time, or, you know, you decided that cheating on me, because I dealt with cheating as well, and with that I never healed from the beginning. And it took me even to the part of being transparent, it took me even to the part of where that I had to go to therapy to help me deal with it, and I didn't know how deep it was. And it went from my childhood, and then it was like in every relationship, something would happen, even in my marriages, you know. And so when I got married to my kid's father, you know, it ended up of betrayal, you know, him having a baby on me as we was married. You know, so that was something that I had to learn how to deal with it. So I had to go seek help for it, for me to be okay with me. And I always blamed it was me. And then I found out that it wasn't me and how I had to let that go. But before I was able to get into the next relationship, I had to, you know, accept what I became, and for me to be able to move on, for me to be going back to the last one you just said, of loving me and accepting me and being able to be a better me. And that was what I had to deal with. So mine was betrayal.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Brother Al, thank you for your transparency, Pastor Charlene. Brother Al, it's on you.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I wanted to make sure I answered right. What was the question on that?
There was a time where you were nowhere near ready for a relationship. Sometime in your life, you made the relationship a mess, and we're just asking for us to tell that tale.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, Pastor Chad, what you laughing? I'm here with the kids, so you mind your business. So... I would say my revengefulness. I always talk about that because people don't understand how revengeful I was. And I didn't care what it was. If I was in a relationship and She said, we're going out on a date. And she's 10, 15 minutes late. Okay, the next date, I'm going to be an hour, hour and a half late. So whatever it was, I was trying to get back at you. And it was just bad, and I didn't care. You know, I just had to get you back because I'm like, okay, I'm not doing nothing wrong in my mind. I'm not doing nothing wrong. You know, when I say I'm going to do something for you, I do it. When I say I'm going to be there at this time, I do it. So why are you doing that to me? So you know what? I want you to feel that same anger, pain, and hurt that you just gave me. So I don't care what it was. If we made food and you took more pieces of the chicken, like, okay, you know, I only got one piece. Why you got three pieces? You could have did two and two. Oh, I'm hungry. Okay. The next time we make chicken, I'm taking the whole bucket. You know, so that revenge was like, wow. And then it's like, you start thinking, like, I can't keep doing that to people. What am I getting out of besides being evil? And, you know, so I wasn't ready for a relationship by being revengeful because I just had to get you back. I don't care what it was. I just had to get it back. You took a piece of candy from me. I'm taking the whole bag from you later on. So it was really bad. And so I had to get out of being revenge and being revengeful in order to go. I mean, I think what really, really did it for me, and I spoke about it several times, you know, we here on the Due Time Show, we keep it real. And I went too far when my son's mother was doing so much dirt to me, and I slept with her sister. And when I sit back and think about it, it's like, what were you thinking? Now you've destroyed sister relationship all because I wanted to get you back. I want to sit back and see you hurt like you hurt me. How you like that? How you like that? And then talk junk to you, too. You know, your sister is way better than you. I should have been with her instead of you. We should have had a baby together. And not meaning that, but just to see you swirl down and crawl up in that corner of hurt, I was satisfied. Like, okay, yeah, I did my job. I got you back, you know. And I had to get away from that revenge. I'm so thankful that God is so gracious that he took it away from me because that would have destroyed me.
Wow. Thank you for your transparency, Brother Al. Thank you for your transparency. Pastor KL, keep it clean.
Yeah, I mean, wow. Okay. Keep it clean. I think for me in my former life, my biggest problem was I was always trying to fill the void. You know, the void of, you know, the next woman. You know, I didn't care about relationships. I knew I wasn't ready for a relationship. I just wanted a trophy, you know, on my side. And when it didn't work out, I didn't care. But as she departed or as I departed, there was a void. And I had to fill the void. And I was filling the void not to have another relationship, but just to be having somebody on my side. You know, and that was the dangerous part because I did a disjustice to the woman who thought they were getting involved to be in a real relationship. And I did a disjustice to myself because, you know, I end up having, you know, children all over the place. You know what I mean? With women I really didn't care about. You know, so that was the problem for me. Filling that void sometimes can be very dangerous.
Wow. Wow. Thank you for your transparency. I love this Due Time crew because you're always willing, ready, willing, and able to just put yourself out there so that other people can be blessed. And I thank you so much for that. So we ask God to help you continue to make those transitions in your life and that you will continue to be able to minister to others and be a blessing. And we pray you have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
You all
everyone
too
enjoy.
Well.
Have a great day.
Thank you. All right. Yes, it's late in the hour, but we can only do one thing at this time. It's time for the Switch Tip with Shantice. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. What you got for us today?
Today I got the Switch with Shantice where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And our switch tip 112 is don't waste his prayer time. Now, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, you done heard a prayer, regardless of the faith, regardless of the religion, everyone prays. The main difference is who and or what are they praying to. Came across Proverbs 28:9, I believe it was last week when I was reading, and I read it in the Message version again, and it reads, God has no use for the prayers of the people who won't listen to him. I'm sorry, it wasn't last week, it was the other day. And when I read that, I was like, oh, okay. And then I went to read something else, and then I had to go back to that. And then it made me think about the purpose of prayer. One, the purpose of prayer is to praise and worship God. Two, the purpose of prayer is to converse with God. Prayer is a two-way conversation. I know sometimes I have to remind myself out loud, like, Shanti, you can't be sitting here talking or, you know, asking God to give you the words to say, but you have to actually open your heart and your mind, your eyes and your ears, to be able to receive what he's ready to say to you during that time. Three, the purpose of prayer is to respectfully and humbly make your requests known to God. Any and everything that you feel like you need or any and every desire you have to do it respectfully and humbly, though. Yes, he says, come to me, but you can't talk to him like he's just an average person out in the street. The purpose of prayer, number four, is to intercede for others. Especially when you are a child of God, he entrusts us with having other people's names in our mouths so that we can, you know, pray to him and ask for him to protect them and, you know, open their eyes and their hearts to certain things so that God and Jesus can now infiltrate their minds and their hearts and their speech and so on and so forth so that he can save them. And he trusts us to now speak on their behalf. The purpose of prayer, number five, is to strengthen our relationship with God. Again, prayer equals quality time with God. If you do not pray, and it brings me back to when I've had a few people, you know, mention in an open forum, like people will say, oh, yeah, I pray. You know, when I was walking out the house, I said whatever to God. When I was, no, that's not prayer. You walking out the house, he does not have your undivided attention. Because I don't know about y'all, but sometimes when I'm walking out the house, I'm making sure I got my keys, I'm making sure I got my AirPods, my phone, my this. You can't split that type of attention and then talk about, oh, yeah, but I'm praying to God, too. No, it needs to be that undivided attention so you can strengthen, well, he can strengthen that relationship with you. And, yes, we have our part in strengthening our relationship with him as well. Romans 8:26-27 in the New Living Translation version. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And there's a couple of reasons why I find these two verses very interesting, because, again, we read and we know and learn biblically that we do not possess the gift of the Holy Spirit until we've decided to make that step into getting baptized and have that physical immersion into the water. Then that's when we receive that gift. At the same time, there are non-believers who God touches them, and they will pray. And it doesn't mean that he's not hearing them, but they do have to have a certain posture. Their heart has to be a certain way. Their minds have to be a certain way. And I find that, like, wow, God, when you say that you bless everyone with an opportunity to come to you, that you bless everyone with an opportunity to speak to you, you actually do it, because they may not have the Holy Spirit residing in them, but the Holy Spirit can rest upon them, which means that they, the same way they can be influenced by the enemy, or you best believe that they can be influenced by the Holy Spirit as well. He's not going to just allow you to just only be tainted by the enemy, but he's not going to bless the non-believer, because the believers were once non-believers. So if we didn't have the opportunity to be influenced in some way, on some level, by the Holy Spirit, there's no way we would have been able to have the opportunity to then be converted to become a believer. Okay, Proverbs 10:17, Message version, the road to life is a disciplined life. Ignore correction and your loss for good. Now, don't waste his prayer time. And God has no use for the prayers of the people who won't listen to him. And then thinking about the other two verses that I just read and the purpose of prayer. So God puts it on my heart to pray because, again, and like we just read, we don't even want to pray unless he puts it on our hearts to pray, especially when we in those moments of being stressed out and just being fed up and being annoyed or you're too tired or, you know, because it's easy to want to pray when you're in church and when you feel good or when something great has happened or when you didn't have some type of come up, whether it was a financial come up, a mental come up, whatever. It's easy to want to pray then. But during them other times when it's like, I'm a good God, and you just keep getting that nudge, like, no, you need to, again, make sure that your posture, your physical, your mental, your emotional, and your spiritual posture is on point so that you can get in that position in every aspect. Now, we're going to go through all that, and God is now going to invest the time. Again, like I said, the Holy Spirit be at work. He prays for us. He intercedes for us. So the same way Jesus intercedes for us, that's also the job of the Holy Spirit. So all of this investment being made just for us to go to God and pray, and now we're wasting his prayer time by not listening to the counsel that he gives us during prayer. Like I told y'all a few weeks ago, a lot of these switch tips, especially as of late, have been coming to me during prayer. And I'm like, wow, God. And when I get it during prayer, I'm like, oh, wow, God. Okay, so if I wasn't praying to you, if I wasn't spending this time with you, I think it's safe to say that most likely I wouldn't be getting these switch tips right now. I'd probably be sitting here stressing, like, oh, my gosh, okay, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to talk about? Okay, God, give me something to talk about. But because I'm genuinely just coming and praying to you, maybe about something else. And then as I'm praying to you, the conversation leads into something else. And then I'm like, oh, I have a Pastor Steph moment. I'm like, oh, okay. And now I'm running to my phone or my iPad. And I'm like, okay, I got to write this down because I've been talking about Pastor Steph so much that now my memory is slipping, so I got to start talking about her. But I got to go write this down because if I don't write this down now, I'm going to lose it. And now I'm going to have to be sitting here stressing out again, like, okay, God, what was that I said? What is that you said to me that had me go, ooh, 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 ooh? So I have to show him that I'm not willing to waste his prayer time. And at first the title was Don't Waste Your Prayer Time. But after reading Romans 8, 26 and 27, and being reminded that it's the Holy Spirit at work who gives us what to say. It's his prayer time. It's because he's made the investment first that we want to pray, that we know what to say, and then we get that feeling, we get that confirmation and or that correction. So we have to make sure that we're making the conscious decision to not go before the Lord. And there's also a verse that says, when you pray and then worry your prayers, you're unstable in all your ways. And then what's the point in praying? What's the point of me coming to you, God, just for me to still worry about it? What's the point of me coming to you, God, and allowing you to put the right words in my mouth? You don't give me anything wrong to say. You're giving me what to say, and I'm praying, and I'm trying to make sure that I'm doing this right. But then when you give me what to say or do or what not to say or not to do, which is just as important as what to say and what to do, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever, all right. What's the point? So we have to make sure we're making the switch from that to making the switch of not wasting his prayer time and actually taking the counsel and learning to have a disciplined life. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Oh, thank you. Give that switch tip one more time.
Don't waste his prayer time.
Thank you. We pray you have a blessed day, Shantese. Keep it going.
Thank you, Pastor Steph. You too.
Thank you. All right, let's get this benediction. I like this one. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15, 5 and 6. We have conversation today, and God is always good as he continues to bless us and we get these switch tips, whether it's coming directly from Shantese, whether it's coming from the Due Time Crew, whether it's coming from Pastor Steph. You know, God continues to invest in us, and you know that's my thing, you know, and I kind of caught that tagline, you know, once I started
with this due time with Pastor Steph. You know, God continually, he continuously invests in us. And I don't think we realize, this. I don't think we're paying attention to this thing here. You know, if it were not for God, we would not be able to do anything. And I mean anything. The rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. And, you know, we talked about, you know, this the woman who's luring these men to these hotels, motels. And, you know, I say it as a joke in a way, or maybe Dutton Crew said it, you know, in their way. But there's the bells and whistles. You know, the Bible also tells us that there is no temptation that is uncommon to man, but that God will not always give a way out. You know, no matter, one of them said, you know, well, you had the car, I think it was Pastor Kelly, put it in reverse. You ain't got no reverse on the car. You ain't got no reverse. You can't turn around if you're on your feet. Yes, you can. And, you know, we don't look at those things. We don't look at those things at all. And we have to make sure that we pay attention to all of the bells and whistles that God gives us. You know, the prayer time, is essential. Oh, because, see, I can co-sign with Shantice that there are times when there's a dilemma in front of me. And I don't know how many of you experience this, but, you know, as with a congregation, you always got a dilemma. Everybody thinks that they're just bringing their dilemma to you. You already walk around with five dilemmas in your pocket that don't belong to you, you didn't ask for, but it's part of what's going on. And sometimes I'll just be thinking about something and I'll just start praying. I'll just stop what I'm doing. I'll just start praying. And as soon as I start praying, God just starts giving it to me. And I'm not even praying about that thing. I could be praying about something completely different. But because God knows that it's a care and concern, because God knows that the congregation is on their way, many a Sabbath I've been in a shower, and I'm like, taking a shower, and I'm talking to God. Now, that's not, you know, the prayer time she was just talking about, you know, be on your hands and knees or whatever. But that's my prayer time at the time, because I'm talking and I'm saying, you know what? God, thank you so much for this, for this, for this, for that. And, you know, that's not my prayer time that I go into my little prayer closet with my prayer mode, get on my, you know, on my position and my posture. But God is like, you know what? I know there's something on your mind. And he just starts giving. Or I would have just come from praying. And then when I get into the shower, he'll just start giving me stuff. He'll start answering. And I'm like, wow. So listen, don't waste God's prayer time. Because see, you're not praying to anyone else but God, or you shouldn't be praying to anyone else but God. So prayer belongs to God, because see, that's his communication. That's not ours. That's his. If everything belongs to God, it all belongs to him. He owns it all. God owns it all. There is nothing that we have, down to the fingernail polish that we wear on our nails, that does not belong to God. Everything is given to us by God. So that prayer time is given to us by God, which ultimately declares that it's his. Make sure that you use that prayer time wisely. Stop going to him asking for that car that you can't pay for. Stop going to him asking for them shoes that you don't need. You got 100 pair of shoes in your closet. You don't need those things. Stop asking him for that Fendi bag that you don't need. Make sure that when you go to, you are talking to him about stuff that's really, really important. And, you know, yes, God will accept the times when, you know, we're just kind of glancing through thoughts and, you know, just not focusing. But make sure you utilize that prayer time in the best way possible. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because they will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew for helping me do what we do. That is minister to God's people. Thank you for hanging out with us today, and we ask, we pray, we really want you to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. If you've already accepted God, use this opportunity to deepen that relationship in the Lord, because it is not promised to us later. Until tomorrow, God says, where we will be in our fourth episode of Kingdom Business in my Two Cents segment. I love you.